Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us tonight on At Home with Victoria. Our chat room is open, and the conversation has already started. Our guest is here. Anthony Anderson is going to be with us tonight on the show for a good 30, 35, 40 minutes. I've already spoken with him, so he is ready to go. Now, Anthony is somebody that I met through entertainment co-host Michael Kay. Michael Kay said to me, oh, Victoria, he was in New York, and he was reporting for At Home with Victoria on the Indie Awards, and he met a lot of people there, and he comes back with a complete list of people that he wanted me to know, and he says, you know, I heard about this great web series that's out of D.C. that's called Anacostia. So, of course, I was completely excited because part of my life, I was born and raised in Anacostia, which is one of the largest sections of D.C., Southeast Washington. So, of course, when Michael Kay said that, I thought, well, I've got to just check this out and see who this Anthony Anderson is. But needless to say, I did check him out, and, folks, he is legit. He's also somebody that I consider a rock star. He is certainly out there on the scene in D.C., just back from L.A., and just out there doing his thing. So with that, we're going to go ahead and bring Anthony into the conversation. Anthony, thanks for being here, you little rock star.
Thank you, you Emmy Award-winning host. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Well, listen, so before we start talking about Anacostia, the web series and all the awards that you've got and what you're doing right now, let's kind of take everybody back to Anacostia, to Southeast D.C., and tell them a little bit about that and what Southeast D.C. Is like. Because part of my life, I was born and raised there. My large part of my family still lives there. My mother still lives there. So I'm in Southeast D.C. and Anacostia quite frequently whenever I come home. And one thing that I love about Anacostia, Anthony, actually coming back there as an adult is that I have a little bit more or a better appreciation of it than I did when I was a kid.
Right, right. Same here. Whenever I drive through there, I'm always looking at something saying, I remember when this was there and I remember when that was there. And now to see the new revitalization of Anacostia and seeing the new buildings going up and seeing the new businesses coming into town. It looks the same, but it looks different, but it's still the same in a lot of ways.
Same.
And I started out on Chicago Street, right across. Anyone familiar with Anacostia, they know that Chicago Street is right across the street from Big K Liquor Store. So, and I went down. I went to school at Nicholas Avenue School. And went to Savoy Elementary School and then Douglas Junior High School. And then by the time I got to high school, we moved to Maryland and where I completed my education. But I still have family in Anacostia. I still frequent Anacostia plenty and therefore
and it's still
the
home,
show.
Though. Yeah, I think it's kind of like one of those things where, and I have to say, and I can only speak for myself, I mean, when I went to Douglas Junior High School, by the way, and the only thing that I had to say about Savoy was that when I was growing up, cheerleading was a big, big thing in Washington, D.C. And Anthony, Savoy whipped everybody's butt.
Yes.
I mean, Savoy was the school that you had to beat, right? If it didn't matter what part of the city you lived in. Yes. If you grew up and you were in D.C., those girls at Savoy, honey, let me tell you, they were the girls to beat.
Yeah, because they came. I mean, they came from the hood. I mean, they knew how to shake the hips. They knew how to work what they was given. And you know,
but their mother came.
Exactly. But you know, back then we were smaller children. But so now, when you drive through the neighborhood and you see some of these kids going to school, you're like, are they going to college? But they're actually going to the sixth grade. So,
right.
I don't know. A lot of things have changed.
Yes, you're definitely right. A lot of things have changed, but I wanted to talk a little bit about how you said that there is revitalization in the area, but still things do look the same. And you are so right about that, because I could be driving Martin Luther King Avenue, Naylor Road, or off of Suitland Parkway, and there are still things, I swear, that are still there when I was in elementary school.
Exactly.
And then there are these new buildings and things that are there and that are, you know, recently new, some within the past maybe 4 or 5 years, and some of them are being constructed right now. But one thing that always puts a really, really big smile on my face is whenever I come through there and I drive by the big chair. That always puts a smile on my face.
That's actually how most people get around D.C. is by landmarks. Like, we really don't say streets. We'll say make a left at the big chair or make a right at the big chair. And actually, anyone that's really grew up on that corridor probably knows my mom, Annie Anderson, who used to work in the carryout that was right across the street from Savoy Elementary School, right on MLK Avenue. So that was her. She had two full-time jobs. So the first full-time job was the cook in that carryout. And then she would go to her other full-time job at night after that. So like a lot of people who see my mom, they're very knowledgeable of my sisters and brothers, and some people see me through Facebook, and they're like, "Aren't you Annie Mae's son?" I'm like, yeah, true. Yeah.
But and you know, also too, that story brought back memories to me, because growing up, and I'm sure that wasn't only confined to D.C., but you know, probably pockets in every community across major cities in America. You know, besides the corner carryout or bodega in New York, you know, everybody had a person in the neighborhood who was the candy lady.
Exactly.
And, you know, you would get like your little 5 cents or 10 cents, and you could go to the candy lady and you could get your candy. And my favorite thing from the candy lady was always the oatmeal cookies. Now, what's amazing about that, back then, Anthony, I thought, you know, the oatmeal cookies were these like magical cookies, and, you know, they came from this like, you know, really great magical place. And then as I get older, I find out there were cookies that probably came from Murray's Steakhouse or Safeway. There was nothing really special about the cookies.
Well, see, I'm glad that you had that experience, because I personally never had that experience, because my mother always told me two things: never take candy from strangers and never eat someone else's potato salad. So
you never did the candy lady, huh?
No, I never did the candy lady.
Well, I guess what I have to say is you definitely, well, you know, mom knows best. So if that's what she taught you, then certainly I can respect that. But the candy lady was also great, and in just so many different neighborhoods. And something else that was that always brings back memories when I come home to D.C., and this doesn't matter what section of the city that I'm visiting, when I see the ice cream truck or hear the ice cream truck.
Yeah, you don't see too many of those nowadays, but you remember whenever you heard that bell, you just ran. You just stopped what you were doing. You stopped your homework. You ran outside, and you had to get a pack of Nylators or a sour pickle.
Yeah. I used to love those sour pickles.
So funny.
I think I actually still do. Well, for those of you that are just taking the time to join us, Anthony Anderson, he is a director, he is an actor, he is a producer. He produces and does a lot of work on Anacostia, the web series, which we're going to talk a little bit about in a minute. But first, Anthony and I are just thinking back on our childhood memories of growing up in D.C., but specifically the Anacostia section of D.C., which is in Southeast. And Southeast is actually one of the largest sections in D.C. Anacostia was actually named after the Anacostia River. And like Anthony said, there's a lot of revitalization that's taking place there now. So a lot of new things are coming in. Housing stores and different communities are taking shape. But at the same time, I think a lot of things are also staying the same. So with that said, when you decided that you were going to do this web series, why did you call it Anacostia? How did that come about?
Well, I called it Anacostia because Anacostia for so many years has been the forgotten territory in Washington, D.C. It's been one of the most underserved areas in Washington, And I just wanted to do something that was going to show a positive, more proactive side of that community and show that not everything that you see on television is exactly that, because a lot of people who have never been to Anacostia only think that there are apartment complexes there, and there are gorgeous homes that are right in the heart of Anacostia. There's plenty of property for homes to be built in Anacostia, but if you watch the news on a daily basis, they don't show that. They only show a segregated area, usually a more crime-riddled area than the areas that are out there doing their night outs or their block parties or something that's brand new. So what I decided to do was, instead of play up the negative side of Anacostia, what I wanted to do was show that these African American professionals were in Anacostia and take the stereotype of what Anacostia was and not portray it in the city, but portray it in the individuals on screen. So you have the show called Anacostia, but the show isn't about Anacostia. It's more so those attributes that people think that go on Anacostia. I put those in some of the characters. So it's sort of like a win-win situation to where I can do what I want to do and also keep it real, as they say, and put those characteristics in the characters.
Right, I got you. And also, just to let everybody know, so Anacostia, it is Anthony, and you would probably say this, it is, I would say, at least 95% African-Americans do live in Anacostia.
Yeah.
And with any major city in America, and I certainly think as a journalist I can say this, I've had the chance to work at 5 or 6 different TV stations and travel the United States. D.C., like any other major city, is certainly prone to crime and violence.
Exactly.
And you do have some of that in pockets of Anacostia in Southeast, not all, just certain pockets.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to kind of put that out there because I do agree with you all too often. It's very easy sometimes for at least newscasters, reporters, commentators, and people within my industry to kind of do a story and sort of lump everybody or lump a group into one category, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But
it's like
really,
that. Right.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of Bones where they did this episode that allegedly took place in Anacostia, and they compared it to Little Beirut, and it was full of drug dealers and whores. And I'm like, whoever wrote this, clearly one is a Caucasian man, and two has clearly never visited Anacostia.
Anacostia, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, and you know, well, and I have to say, fortunately for me, in my travels, when I traveling around the U.S. and living in the Midwest and East Coast, being a television reporter. And people, of course, you know, they want to know your background, and they say, where are you from? And we say D.C., which is amazing to me, because the first question that I would always get about living in D.C. was about Mayor Barry, and was I there when he was arrested for crack? So you know, what was always interesting to me, that was always, I mean, I could guarantee Anthony Anderson that I was always going to get that question about the mayor smoking crack and how is it that people in D.C. can reelect him. And my standard line was then, and it is today, Mayor Barry certainly had his problems. You know, I don't know what's going on in his life right now. I don't really follow him, but I can certainly say he had his problems. But he did so much for people that lived in Southeast. I mean, the things are just literally unbelievable.
He actually
so
gave me my
I
first
guess,
job.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, and actually, not only you, I had my first job through the Mayor's Summer Program. And I swear to you, I have conversations about my grandmother about this right now who lives in Southeast. Anthony, I was making more money when I was a teenager with my first summer job in D.C. Than my grandmother was making on her regular job. I swear to God.
Right. Those summer jobs were good. I looked forward to mine. I looked forward to mine They pretty much allowed me to buy my school clothes, shoes,
supplies,
everything. So, and plus what they did is what I loved is they did it in a way to where you were actually working and making money, but you actually were learning a skill or a trade and didn't even know that you were doing that. So that's what I sort of do with my little one now. I sort of trick him into doing things, and he sort of doesn't really, he's not really actually aware that he's actually learning something.
Right. And you know, actually, my one of my first summer jobs, I can't think of the. It was a junior high school in Northwest, and there was a camp, and I was one of the camp counselors. But I just remember that summer job, and I remember taking the bus, and I sort of had to get myself there. Of course, I was old enough to take the bus, and I would come back home, but. You know, thinking about that now, that was a huge responsibility for me to do, and I got, paid for it. But it was one of those things, like you said, I didn't really think too much about it then, but, what that really taught me was sort of a leadership skills in terms of, leading the kids and, like they had to be off the playground at a certain time. There was a time that the kids had to do everything,
right.
And I was responsible for making sure that they got to and from and checking the time. So you're right. It's sort of you thought that while you were going there to, maybe play at a recreation center with some kids all day, that you were really learning life skills and
right.
getting paid for it.
I loved it.
Yeah, very, very, very much so. Well, with that said, we're going to stop bragging on about our childhood at Anacostia, but we're going to bring entertainment co-host Michael Kay into the conversation. And, in fact, Michael had the chance to visit Anacostia. He took some pictures of the big chair.
I
took him around Southeast. My mother had been sick, and Michael came into D.C. for a couple of days to some functions and to go see my mom. So we stayed at my mom's house, who lives in Southeast. So, Michael Kay, you got a chance to see a little bit of Southeast.
I certainly did, and I will vouch for being the only white man there on a Thursday afternoon. Victoria was driving the car, and everybody's looking like, what's that white man doing in that car with that girl? Couldn't believe it. But, before we get into Anacostia and the whole stuff, I want you to tell everybody what chum was. You told me to go ahead. I have to have the chum. Victoria said I have to have the chum. I never had the chum. But tell me exactly what chum is.
Oh, what you mean, the chicken wings and mumbo sauce?
Oh, yeah, it's
a Washington, D.C. staple at any carryout, but you have to choose the right carryouts to go to because some people don't make mumble sauce right.
Yes.
It can't be too thick and it can't be too runny. Basically what it is, it's fried chicken wings, which you can get a steal for like $5 will get you five or six wings, and they're actually pretty big, so you got to be suspicious of that too. But and on these wings, you get this magical red—I call it a magical red sauce—but I think it's a blend of ketchup and hot sauce.
I still don't know what it is.
And sweet and sour sauce. No one knows what mumbo sauce is, but it's this concoction that they put on the chicken, and it gets all under your fingernails, and you have to suck your fingers to get it out, and it's the best thing ever. So if you're ever in D.C., you have to stop at a carryout and make sure that you get chicken wings and mumbo sauce.
Well, Victoria's going to have to take you to the good ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know this coming fall we've got some events coming back, and MK will be back in D.C., so I will make sure that I take him to the carryout and get him some chicken wings and mumble sauce and chum. Michael, what was interesting about that was when I left American University and I was starting my television career, I just assumed that every single carryout in America, no matter what community you were in, had chicken wings and mumble sauce. I just thought that that was universal.
No.
And then one day it dawned on me when I kept asking for it and it wasn't on the menu that, that's a D.C. thing. I mean, only people in D.C. do this. So it's interesting. And, Michael, I'm sure you have some examples growing up in Canada when you were a kid where there were things that was just specific to that area and community where you lived that just wasn't everywhere.
Oh, yeah. My most favorite is poutine. It's French fries with fresh mozzarella topped with gravy. Really big in Canada. No one knows anything about that here.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to check
Delicious.
That out.
Anyways, enough about food. Now I'm getting hungry.
Yes, we're getting hungry. So, so MK, I want you to start off with your experience when you first had the chance to meet this guy at the award ceremony. What was that like?
Absolutely. You met Anthony at the Indy Soap Awards in the red carpet in New York City. And Anthony was this bundle of energy. You could see him bouncing down the red carpet. Anacostia was up for 9 awards that night. And Anthony himself won for Best Actor. And then it was also Pasha Diallo, I believe, that won for Best Breakthrough Performance. So
yeah.
You can just imagine the energy of the entire cast. But Anthony, I must say... Victoria, I watched the whole series of Anacostia in one day, watched every episode and stuff, and then I actually told Anthony to give me a call right after, because I tell you, this Anacostia is filled with some of the finest-looking men and women, don't get me wrong, but the finest-looking men in this series. And I said, wow, my goodness, where did you find this bunch? And the cast is fantastic in total, but before we get into that, I want to go ahead and just touch on, because Anthony also is an award-winning independent film writer for The Ties That Bind, which I haven't seen yet, Anthony. So tell us a little bit about what The Ties That Bind was all about.
Oh, God, that was my first ever foray into writing and producing, and that was my very first film, and I was kind of fed up with the powers that be in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area as far as the casting directors only wanted to cast you in as a drug dealer or dead body number 1, 2, or 3. And I just figured that I would do something else. So I just started writing, and it turned out to be my first independent film. And I cast it myself. I sort of co-starred in it, but I had a really smaller role, kind of. And actually, some of the actors that were in that movie have gone on to be on CSI New York, The Wire, have gone on to move to Los Angeles, and so it was a really great experience. I got my first festival experiences with that film, and it's actually become like a little cult thing, actually around in the D.C. metropolitan area. So I'll have to send you a copy of that DVD, actually.
Do me. Any place else we can find it on, Vimeo or Hulu, perhaps? Is that possible?
Actually, I should have it broken down and put up on Vimeo or YouTube or something like that. Or I might just give it to DCTV and have them air it, because they have this whole film thing that they're
do
doing
that.
Now. Yeah, but that was my first. That's my number one baby, and I've been dying to get back into feature film. But then along came Anacostia, and it sort of took a life of its own.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
Now you're going into season 3, correct?
Yes, we're going into season 3 very soon. Oh.
And when will taping start? When will taping start?
Actually, I believe week after next.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, I believe week after next.
So just to go ahead and because I know what it's all about, let's just cover very briefly what happened in seasons 1 and 2, because there were some scenes in season 1 where I just wanted to hug you, and there were some scenes in season 2 I just wanted to smack you senseless, I did. And so bring us up to speed on exactly what's happening with your character and the storyline.
Well, basically, when you first see my character, Sean, he's sort of grieving because his partner, Julian, played wonderfully by Darnell Lamont Walker in season 2, he mysteriously dies, and so he's sort of not in the best place, but he's trying to cope with it. Then he meets this stranger named Andrew, played by Jermaine McNeil, and they sort of fall in love, and then during the course of that, you sort of see that it's not really what Sean thought it was. And in retrospect, Sean makes the wrong decision and decides to try to commit suicide, which fast forwards us to season 2, where we found out that Julian is actually alive.
Yeah.
And it has been hiding out, and then he sort of comes back. And you would think that there would be a great reunion there and there would be a bunch of happiness, but actually Sean is kind of he's kind of pissed off that
I would have beat his ass too.
Yeah, he's kind of pissed off that for like over a year this guy has been out there while he's been going through all of this grief, and now they really aren't on the best of footing. But by the end of season 2, you sort of start to see that there may be some positivity coming through. But now with season 3 and the advent of Andrew stepping back into the picture, you never really know how that situation is going to go. So that's So that's the quick synopsis on me. So I've heard that a lot by people, though. I've heard people say, well, in season one, we wanted to hug you and be your best friend. And then that scene between myself and Tamika Chavis in season two, they were like, we wanted really kick your ass. And I'm like, oh, okay.
You were mean. And also there's a scene with you and Tia Day where Tia Day is the neighborhood hardworking woman. The husband's lost his job, but Tia Day's a little rough around the edges, and she wants to so be in the same kind of group that Anthony and his pals are. And she plays it wonderfully. She really does. I mean, yeah. I love her more, but there's a scene with you where you make fun of her where I just thought, you are the rudest pig on the planet. But
well,
then you redeem yourself too, so...
No, but you know we all have that. But then I think what you see, I think that's episode 8 where she goes into the store and she sort of can't afford to buy this dress, and Sean and Andrew have this argument about Sean putting a lot of emphasis on money, and he sort of sympathizes with her that she can't really afford this dress, and what happens is Sean actually buys that dress for her, and I think that's when a lot of people, Sean was up and down, which I was glad that people really picked up on, because that's the mood he was in. Like, he was grieving, but didn't really know how to take care of that grieving. So it sort of came out in other ways.
Well, brilliantly played, and that's why you won Outstanding Lead Actor. I tell you that much. But
Speaking of winning, MK, I'm glad you mentioned that because, of course, I wasn't there that evening. But so how was that for you, Anthony? I mean, you know, all of this work and the production and the writing and the crew and all the details and just the work that goes into putting something like that together, and then to have somebody say, hey, you know, we like this. We think you're doing a great job. You're in the right direction. We want to reward you. What was that like for you?
Well, you know what? I have to be honest, because I think Michael can probably attest to this. I think my cast was probably amongst the drunkest cast there, to be completely honest. Probably aside from the cast of In Between Men, because I think they were kind of lit too. But between us drinking before we actually got to the award show, I was just like, all right, well, you know, I'm just glad to be here. And it's never really like about me. It's really about the work that the other actors on the show get recognized for. So I was really glad that the entire cast got nominated once again for ensemble, and Tamika Chavis for lead actress, Shantae Bowser for supporting, Pasha Diallo for a breakthrough, which she won. So, you know, I was more so wishing to see one of them win, because I'm like, I'm the last man that I think about that type of stuff. So when it actually happened, I still can't explain that moment. They call it the Holy Ghost moment I had, but I was drunk. I was drunk.
You weren't that hammered, and plus there wasn't that much wine to get that hammered on. I mean,
we came in drunk. Thank you, Marian Akpan.
Oh, okay.
We sort of came in from Tiana Harris. Everyone that was over at Makeup Central in Brooklyn, Pasha, Marion, Tiana, we all came there kind of lit. So just the wine added to it. But yeah, it was a great night. Great night. I'm looking forward to next year, actually, because I'm going either way.
Yeah, I'll meet you back in February next year. That's for sure. I want to go ahead and cover it with Damon and We Love Soaps. They're two great guys. It's Damon Jacobs and what's the other one? Oh my God, what? Roger Newcomb. I don't know why his name. Yeah.
Plus, it was a great opportunity to actually meet the other web series creators, like Steve Silverman, which I just worked for, who is fantastic. He and his cast are just absolutely. I can't even put into words how great that cast and that situation was in LA this past week, and also meeting the guys from In Between Men and Anyone But Me. Out with Dad, Will Conlon, everyone from Empire, and seeing Tina Sloan and Jordan Clark and Hillary Smith and Martha Byrne, who I just worked with too, and Kim Zimmer was just a blast. I mean, you never really expect creating something like this that you would be in that room with that company of excellence. So it was great for me.
I saw some of the pictures on Facebook. So it's one thing I love about Facebook and social networking. You're able to kind of follow people as they go, you know, do things. In your case, making that trip to LA.
Yeah.
So that was very cool to see some of the pictures and to see some of your comments as well. Of course, At Home with Victoria, we are just mad crazy and big fans of Pretty. Steve Silverman has been on the show many, many, many times. And
Steve is a nutball.
He's great, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, Michael K., we've had pretty much every single one of the cast members from Pretty on. Is that correct?
We've had all except for Troy Conrad. He's the only one that slips under my radar and stuff. I've got to, like, reel him in with the last two because I think he's also a hoot and a holler. Speaking about Pretty Anthony, I know you can't say anything, and please, dear Steve Silverman, I'm not going to prod him because Steve scares me too. But tell us about you can't kind of tell us that. Can you tell us about anyone in particular that you worked with in a scene that that was fantastic? I mean, the whole cast is fantastic, but any good memories that way?
Yeah, the whole cast is fantastic. I think I can say that most of my stuff was done in and around with D. Freeman and Sam Pancake and Stacy McQueen. So it was pretty much surrounding them. Sam is just a comic genius. I mean, Sam, Stacy, that whole cast just made me miss my own cast just that much more because they were so loving and so open and so welcoming from the moment I stepped on. And Dee and I started talking like we've known each other for years. And I think Steve had to tell us to shut up one time. But they were all so accommodating. Terry Simmons took me out for dinner one night. On my last day, I hung out with Michael Taylor Gray, who is always so funny. Dee Freeman and I, we went to the movies, and we were going to see this party, which was so hilarious because we got off the set late, and we had to go to this party. And she was like, "We're going to this party either way," and we got lost. So it was very funny. And Steve has one of the best crews that I've ever been around. They are so efficient, and they are so on top of it that it made me want to step my game up this season. So I can't thank him enough for that opportunity. And Quentin Corral from the Kavanaughs, who was my roommate in L.A. So I can't thank Steve enough for that trip and the entire cast. So I'm looking forward to them premiering those episodes. I think he said November the 1st, I think.
Yeah, that's when that's
looking forward to that. Well,
but
listen,
it's gonna be real funny.
Speaking of that, Anthony and Michael K., I've got I'm looking at our board here. I've never seen this amount of telephone numbers and people calling in. This is the most, besides Joan Van Ark, that I think I have seen. There are so many people that are listening and calling in. But the thing is, I know some of your cast members are calling in, but I don't know which number is for who and who's on who. So I know we've got a 301 number. We've got a 240. We've got a 703. Another 202.
Which
one do you want me to try? The 202 or 703? Which one should I try first?
Take any of them.
let's play
Russian roulette.
All right, there you go. I like that. Hi, you're live on the air with Victoria, Michael, and Anthony. Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're live on the air. Hi, who am I speaking with?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Victoria. This is Tiana Harris. I'm play Ashley Winters on Anacostia.
Hi, Tiana.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Tiana.
you guys
Tiana,
sound good.
What's it like working with this guy that we're talking to tonight, Anthony?
Oh, Anthony is awesome. He's like a bundle of joy to work with. He's really professional and really fun, but very professional. I'm kind of like the problem child probably sometimes on set, so I'm probably the bad kid in school, but he's very patient. I've learned a whole lot from Anthony. Anthony's great.
Wonderful.
MK, you've got any questions for her?
Yeah, Tiana, Ashley, I'm sorry. I'm so thrilled you called in. I'm kind of flustered actually at the moment. But tell everybody a bit about your character in Anacostia.
Oh, well, actually, when Cerse came to Anacostia in season two, she basically had, an axe to grind. Is that the right thing? Axe to grind with one of the main characters, which was Selena. Basically, at the end of the season, it comes out that Ashley Winters isn't really who she seems to be. She knew Selena a long time ago when they were children because Selena had a school teacher that she really liked, but the school teacher found out that, I guess, Selena had been abused, which was a great message that Anthony basically sent out. And Anthony, I get a lot of emails about that, too, about the message for that season.
Good.
But with Selena, I basically wanted her to tell the truth because the school teacher who she accused of basically molesting her was my father, but my father didn't do it. It was actually her father. So I basically came back as a psychopath with my serial killer husband,
who turned out to be
Ty
her brother.
Frazier. Yeah, who turns out to be my brother. Really psychopath, really freaky, crazy. But Ashley was a true class act. She was really fun to play. It was fun to do the cold and hot characters, and it was really great to work with the whole cast, especially Shantae. Shantae was really fun to work with.
That's awesome.
So I just basically played a psychopath who sets off my serial killer husband to kill everyone until we basically get to Selena. And then at the end, we finally kidnap her and make her tell the truth to the fans and tell what's going on. And Sean, who's played by Anthony Anderson, he basically tells me that I'm full of it, and he finds out at the end who I really am. So that kind of goes into a big turmoil, craziness, and at the end, I guess Ashley ends up getting stabbed, so we don't know what really happened. So we'll see.
Oh, we've got, boy, the drama, my goodness.
I tell you, Vicky, you got to watch
it. I know.
Anthony's imagination is awesome.
My head is spinning already. Well, listen, sweetheart, thank you so much for taking the time to call, and I want to get down with as many numbers as I can. Husband kisses, and we look forward to seeing you in the upcoming season, okay?
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
and thank
Anna.
You so much. Anthony, you definitely got a lot of drama on that Anacostia, dude. My goodness.
Yeah, that's just one, and that's just one character.
That's why. Yeah, well, let's go ahead and do Russian roulette, and we'll see who this is on the line. Hi, you're live on At Home with Victoria. Who are we speaking with? Hi, caller.
Hello.
Hi, you're live on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Kenya. I play Nicole Reese Davis. How are you?
Kenya Hodgins,
great.
How are you?
I am good, thank you.
So what's it like working with Anthony?
Oh, well, I've been fired twice.
I cannot believe
you
just said that.
So, you know, I love
you just said that.
And I'm so happy to be back for season three. Let's see. No, Anthony's one of my very good friends, and it's kind of a joke that, you know, that I've been fired twice. The second time was kind of a bad prank that he played on me, but the first time, if you watch season two, you notice Nicole kind of went away for a while, and then we made up came back.
Anthony,
I told you they keep it real.
Laughing.
I told you they keep it real.
But no, it's been fun. I love the cast, and Anthony and I were friends before the project. And so I've been able to kind of develop a relationship and a friendship with everyone in the cast. So we've had a good time. We have a great time behind the scenes. So working on set, on camera, is really, really natural for us, I think.
Even though when I first met her, I cannot remember her name.
Yeah. And it's a four-letter word, you know. It was really easy. It's Kenya. He kept calling you Kenya and Kenya.
Everything but.
It was okay.
You're lucky he didn't just call you tall girl.
Well,
that's okay,
person.
Too. I'm the tallest woman. Actually, I'm the tallest person on the
She's
entire
tallest
set.
Person on the set.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
I'm 6 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Without
okay,
two.
Wow.
Without
yep,
heels.
You are.
Yeah.
Yep, you are
six
pretty
feet
tall.
Of beauty.
That's tall and beautiful. Well, listen, sweetie, thank you so much for taking the time to call in on Anthony on Anacostia series. I do appreciate your time, and And you making this guy over here continuously laugh. He hasn't laughed like that since the show's been on the air.
That's because he's going to call me and be like, you're fired again.
No, I'm not.
Anthony, don't fire her this time. Let her stay, okay?
Yeah, I know. Don't fire me. Okay. Anyway, you all have a great night.
Thank you so much for calling in.
I love my Anthony band. I tell you, they keep it real.
Well, I was going to say, Micah Kay, I know you agree with me. Just the couple of calls that we have taken, it's very clear, Anthony, that all of you seem to have a great working chemistry together, which is really important. Because I imagine, you know, if you're going to spend that amount of time with people working every single day, I mean, everybody's attitude kind of has to be in the same direction.
Absolutely. And it makes a very long day not seem so long.
Yeah, absolutely. Anthony, quick question. As you were guest starring on season 3 of Pretty, and there was a rumor that you were going to have Nick Matthews from In Between Men on Anacostia. Is that true? Is that what I'm hearing?
So anyway, what's your next question? I can either confirm or deny that story.
Okay.
I can either confirm or deny that story, but if I had to confirm it, I would say that you were. I can't.
See, you know,
so
Michael Kay tries to get the up to the minute information just for the listeners. And
so basically, Michael Kay, as a journalist, I can go ahead and say I've heard that in my career. Oh gosh, many, many times, and whatever you ask them, that basically means yes, it's confirmed. He's just not going to say it. So,
I said it.
He did not. Hey, MK, listen. Before we take some more calls, I wanted to ask you this because Michael has very much become, in his own right, somewhat of sort of a critic of these web series as. You know, he spends a lot of his time, I know for a fact, watching them. And I know people now will email him and will call him and say, hey, listen, I'm thinking of doing this, or I've got a web series out. I want you to take a look at it and tell me what you think. So, MK, I know that you get a chance to view a lot of different web series out there with different storylines and that send different messages. But what would you say about Anacostia that you really like when you first saw it that really stood out, that gave you pause to think, wow, you know, this is actually real, they've got something good here?
Clearly the writing I found to be well done, and to a point of excellence, Anthony. And just
thank you.
When you watch the whole thing, Vic, and you sit it all down and you realize that Anthony Anderson was the one who put all of these twisted storylines, plot lines, characters, and how the heck he got everything to link up to make fluid sense so that everybody's all involved and on the same thing. That's when I really realized that it was a magical series. And there's very few web series out there. I would put Anacostia in the top five out there
right now.
That are actually, you know, because Anthony, you've seen a lot of the web series too. And I don't want to fault by no means anybody for giving a try and throwing their hat in the ring. It's difficult to work on a shoestring budget. It's hard to come up with your own product right now because, again, your audience is on the internet, so you can hit big or hit so tiny. It's either or, but Anacostia is certainly a winner and definitely deserving of everything. And like I said, the staff is really good to look at.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
So, Anthony, let's talk real quickly because we've got a few more minutes here just about the writing. So what's the process when you're putting a script together and you're writing? I mean, do you visually see everything first, or do you actually put it down to paper first?
Actually, I see my last episode first, and then I work backwards to sort of get to that point to make sure that everyone sort of understands like what exactly is going to happen for that particular season. And I'm glad that Michael picked up the fact that when you watch the entire episodes, like in succession from 1 to 10, you actually see how everything starts to meld within each other for that final finale and for that final climax. So I'm really glad that is something that's been picked up on. But usually, I just need to have my mind clear, so I can actually concentrate on what it is that I have to do. And some things I'll write and I'll look at and say, you know, I don't know if the audience is going to really get into that. And I say, well, you know, well, I'm going to keep it because that's exactly what writers do. They do things that are going to provoke commentary, either positive or negative, and we've had our share of both, and I mm-hmm. say the same thing to, and I say the same comments to both of those, that I appreciate you for watching, because my intention isn't for you to like it, even though I would hope that you would, but my ultimate goal is for someone to see it, and if you're talking about it either positively or negatively, that means that you've taken the time to actually see it. So that's my ultimate goal, is to have people watch it.
Mm-hmm. And you know something too that that I know many of you have been seen on television lately when it comes to reality shows. I know there was it the Real Housewives of Hollywood or Beverly Hills or whatever. One of the young ladies' husband committed suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know there's been a lot of talk about that as mm-hmm. well. But and this is just something I want to get an opinion from entertainment co-host Michael Kay, as he really follows that community and that sort of entertainment, and just your take on it as well, Anthony, because it's kind of, you know, you're doing different but the same, but it's not really the, you know, the exact same thing. But when it comes to reality shows, I'll ask you first, MK, do you think that we have kind of, or that producers have kind of gone a little bit too far in reality shows in terms of, you know, constantly having to step up the bar, meaning step up the drama, that they've taken it a bit too far?
Well, sadly, I am one of those people that does watch reality television, and I say that with tongue in cheek, and I ask you not to repeat it. But yeah, reality television right now, there's so many out there. The Real Housewives franchise, for one. There's also Jerseylicious, Jersey Shore. There's now I'm watching Big Rich Texas, which is pathetic. And yeah, there's a certain amount of unbelievability that I find it difficult to actually believe people would want to have petty errors air on television, have people realize that there are people out there with really big problems. Throwing a $50,000 birthday party for your five-year-old is not one that the American public can relate to. So I really just do think it's almost like mind candy. If you watch it too much, your brain will explode and you'll get a big cavity in your head. But other than that, yeah, reality television has gone too far. And quite frankly, I think the reporting of the woman's husband who just passed and actually took his life, I thought that was kind of in poor taste. But again, it's a follow-up of the franchise. So that's my two cents.
And what about you, Anthony?
Well, really quickly, like Michael said, I have watched them. As a person, I watch some of them for like the sheer entertainment of some of it, but sometimes I do have to turn out. As a writer, mm-hmm. I don't like them because I think it's a cheap way for a network to make money. And when you call it reality, that means that you're not really using writers. And if you put too many of that in one place, what's the need for writers? What's the need for actors, really? And you know, that's
well,
my
I
take
do
on
know
it.
That they are actually fighting that. I mean, I don't know if it's the Writers Guild, or Anthony, you may know about this, but I know within that Hollywood community that there is a large segment that is actually sort of fighting this whole reality television, because like you said, it is taking paychecks out of a lot of hands of writers and directors and people that would normally get paid, you know, doing this as a job versus putting it under reality that you don't have to pay, you know, the same amount of people as you would if you hire a professional actor, actress, producer, or writer. But I think the last I heard of MK, was it Emily, the two young ladies that we had on who actually have web series, and one of them were in Washington, D.C. about supporting a free internet. And during that conversation, they were also talking about how now reality stars are actually demanding to be paid the same amount of compensation as actors and actresses, because now they are actually, in a sense, starting to see themselves as that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing, you know, shakes down with reality stars versus people that have actually gone, you know, have gone to school and spent the hours and the auditions and blood, sweat, and tears and all of that to go about it the traditional way versus just getting on a reality show
right.
and getting popular, you know, for a quick second.
Right.
Yeah, that was Julie Emery from Then We Got Help, and then Darren Strauss from Downsized. Yeah, you know, people in, I think actors in, or not actors, individuals in reality series have to realize that they're not actors. And, you know, for Bravo and Style and everything, those are just cheaply made, throw on television, get the most bang for your buck situations. They're not meant to be long-running. The Desperate Housewives franchise, I have no idea how even that keeps going on. But, again, you got to have your viewers and those people demanding more. Because I think basically for an episode of Desperate Housewives, I think they get roughly like $17,000 an episode or something like that. The big money comes after, of course, like the Bethany Frankels with her skinny girl. It's all branding. Everything's branding now.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of it's getting cheap and tawdry. And I do agree with Anthony that the more you watch, the less you support your local writers and support your local actors. I mean, now Victoria, we have a lot of writers, actors, producers in our Rolodex repertoire, and that's who we should be supporting on an ongoing basis.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly, absolutely. Anthony, I think we have time for one more call, so we're going to do our call Russian roulette and see who this is on the show. Hi, caller, you're live. Thank you so much for being on At Home with Victoria. Who are we speaking with? Hi, caller. Let's try one more person. This is a 703 number. Hi, caller. You're live on At Home with Victoria. Who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're live on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, wow. How ironic that we just talked about reality shows. This is Will Lash, also known as Onyx, and I play Scott Taylor, the wife of Selena Taylor. How are you doing
today?
Thanks for calling
in. How are you?
Hey,
so,
Will.
So listen, we were talking about reality shows. Did you have something in there that you wanted to toss in there and talk about as we were just mentioning that?
Well, I was actually on a reality show, so that that sort of was where my expertise on the conversation.
I Love New York.
Yes, sir.
There we go, Will. I think I saw you on that one. I really did.
And how was that experience for you going through that show?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I'll go ahead and start from the beginning. I mean, most of the reality shows start out as auditions, you know, just like a lot of other, you know, casting calls. You know, you get, when the casting list comes out, you know, they put these reality shows on there as well. And mostly because, you know, these days, actors are trying to sort of get that instant stardom, so they go to these auditions. There are a lot of actors, trained actors, that actually do audition for these reality shows simply because, you know, a lot of them aren't getting parts otherwise. You know, I myself, you know, I studied theater in college, but I didn't go on the reality show to particularly play a character. Although now that has become the theme, because they've seen how, you know, reality TV has evolved, and they know now that you can go on and become a character and sort of, you know, brand yourself, as Mike was saying. But the experience, I mean, I have no regrets. I enjoyed it. I made a lot of good friends. I learned a lot about the process and how, you know, the behind the scenes of the reality television. And you guys were very correct in some of your perceptions, although I do have to correct one thing. There are writers on reality shows. There are storyline writers. And that's typically how they determine, especially shows like ours, which are elimination shows. That's how they sort of determine who stays and who goes. They write, each character has a storyline, and basically when your storyline runs out is when you get eliminated from the show. Basically, when they don't have any, when you're not making any great TV moments, you're pretty much done for.
Yeah.
And now he's in.
And you know what? And you know what? Let me ask you this about the now. In your case, you said that you know I was. And I guess when I mentioned a thing about reality, I'm sure. You know, I'm not making a blanket statement that you know everybody who goes on reality shows is going to have a bad experience. In your case, like you said, it was a good experience. You met
there are a lot of people.
Experiences
while you're there. It really depends on how you deal with the situation. I mean, you can go on those shows and you can leave your dignity and your integrity behind, or you can go for the experience and not fall victim to what the producers are really trying to do. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you're making a television show, and it's for entertainment purposes only. And you know, a lot of people go in there with this grandiose, you know, idea that you know I'm going to be famous, and they lose track of really the psychological, the sociological experiment that's being done, and they get lost in this whole thing. And a lot of times they come out with these bad experiences, just like the guy who, you know, from the Housewives of Beverly Hills who just committed suicide. Here he was on this reality show trying to portray something that he wasn't, trying to live up to this ideal of, you know, and was more worried about what people thought of him and couldn't, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, sometimes fame is not for everybody. And that's, you know, you have to be prepared. When you sign that contract for a reality show, you have to be prepared that their sole purpose is to, in some cases, make you look as ridiculous as possible. So you have to be prepared for that.
And now he's on Anacostia.
And now he's on Anacostia.
So with all that said, how did you connect with Anthony and Anacostia? How did that happen?
Well, Anthony and I had met previously on a previous project, an independent film that we were working on together, and Anthony had pulled out of the project, but you know had kept in touch. You know, we would periodically see each other, and when the Anacostia project came up, when I found out about the auditions, we had actually kind of lost touch with each other, and I lost his contact information, and I found out about the auditions, and I was trying to get a hold of him. You know, I was wondering where, you know, I can't get a hold of this guy. I want to audition for the project. And he was kind of looking for me at the same time, wondering, you know, why haven't I showed up for the audition? And we finally connected and
on his birthday.
We talked about the project and characters that were involved. And we decided that it would be a pretty good merger to at least, you know, he had basically had this character in mind that he thought that I would be good for.
Well, that is absolutely awesome. And, you know, I was, Will and all of you guys, I was thinking, too, because, and Michael Kay and I have had this conversation. I think we talked about this with Joan Van Ark, who was on our show, and some other actors and actresses, is that now the whole thing with web series, it's like, you know, way, way back in the day, you know, I'm sure there was a conversation that took place where people said, oh, you know, television isn't going to be anything, and, you know, this isn't really going to amount to anything, and blah, 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 blah. So now I kind of see a web series and what it is that all of you guys are doing as really like the next big thing, because at least within my industry as a journalist, and I'm always reading about this, one thing about me, I love facts and information, and I'm always crunching numbers. And you guys probably know this too. You know, the fact of the matter is there are simply more people, whether not only teenagers like it used to be before and young college students, that actually get pretty much most of their news, information, and entertainment from the internet than they do television. I mean,
no
these
doubt.
Days, you know, younger people and people our age will come home, and I do the same thing. I'll turn the internet on before I even think about touching a television now. So
most people are at work during the day in front of a computer, and you're not there. You're not watching CNN, or you're not watching. You know, you're online. You know, looking at, finding out what's going on in the world, whether
mm-hmm.
it's you know, social issues or entertainment, and so
mm-hmm.
and with
mm-hmm.
book and all the other social networking things. You know, I mean, I a lot of things that you find out are from posts from your friends from different blogs
yeah.
or stuff like that. So yeah, it's definitely
definitely. And you know, I was saying that to say is that you know for someone like me as a journalist, it's super exciting to see that what you guys are doing that you're at that sort of ground level with other folks that are out there producing web series, and that, you know, one of these days, you know, probably many years from now, you know, just like you've got the Oscars on television and the Emmy Awards and stuff, that stuff had to start from somewhere. So I see things like the Indie Awards, in which, you know, that you guys were cited and won things for. Like, I completely can see that, you know, fast forward 5 or 10 years down, and that's going to be a big, big thing. So it's exciting for me to see that, you know, that you guys are taking part in that, you know, young in your career, and that you're stepping your toe into that sort of new world and new genre and doing it. So that's very exciting for me as a journalist to see.
Look, the greatest thing, Mike and Vic, is that, you know, that we've got directors and producers and writers out there like Anthony, who, you know, there are a lot of very talented writers out there who are not, you know, in Hollywood or are not in New York. And, you know, they're scattered around the world and around the country, and the internet allows them to showcase their talents without having to go that route, without having to, you know, to be in LA. And at the same time, it allows actors who are not in that market to actually act and hone our craft without, you know, I mean, I know a lot of great, talented actors that don't get the chance to act. They're auditioning and they're auditioning, but they're, you know, they don't really get the opportunity to be a part of projects and actually, you know, hone their skill. And so, you know, luckily that, you know, that Anthony has allowed us, especially local actors here in D.C., to be able to work, which is great.
That's a good point, actually. MK, did you have something you want to throw in there?
Yeah, I just got a couple questions for Will. Will, I watched, like I said, the whole thing of Anacostia, the whole seasons and everything at once. And I was trying to place you. Have you, by any chance, worked in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, ever?
You know, you're the second person to ask me that. No, I haven't.
Okay, then here's the second one. Have you ever worked in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania?
No.
No, you haven't? Then I'm confusing you with someone else. I swear to God, you were the actual security guard at Bloomingdale's when I was the manager, the GM of Elizabeth Arden. For some reason, you look that familiar. But anyways, yeah, just fantastic job at Anacostia, buddy. What do you have? Do you have anything else on the horizon besides the Anacostia series?
Well, I know I'm excited to get season three going. I think you talked about the cast. We're such a close-knit cast, and we all form this bond. And the fact that we have not been together in so long, I mean, it's literally like you've lost your friends. I mean, we all still try to keep in touch as often, you know, but when we're not filming, we all have our lives, and we're all doing this now. But I'm really excited to get my friends back. But as far as other projects, I host a show here locally called DC Hotspots, and it's one of the few entertainment-focused shows where we go around. We interview at celebrity events and you know, political events, philanthropic events, and we see, you know, tell you who's who and what's what going on in the Washington, D.C. area. And so,
and you know what, Will? Actually, Michael Kay and I know D.C. Hotspots because we were at Home with Victoria. We were helping to sponsor, what was the fashion event, MK, that we were at? And there was a young lady, and I remember, from D.C. Hotspots, and she interviewed me only for a couple of seconds. But so we do know D.C. Hotspots.
Oh, great. We have about posts, that when we all go around to different events. Oh, that's great.
Different locations, yeah. So I'm actually fans of D.C. Hotspots on Facebook. So I have a feeling I'm sure I'll see you out and about this fall or winter at some event or function in D.C.
Sounds good. We actually just teamed up with the CW, with DC 50, and so we have all of our DC Hotspots clips, or we have a link to DC Hotspots on their entertainment page. So
great!
Oh, congratulations! That's wonderful.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy to have on. He's a great guy to have on the cast. He's an excellent support, and he's always. I was just telling someone this the other day. someone had asked me what was it like working with him, and I had to be honest. I said, I've never seen him upset. I said, in all the years of knowing him, I've never heard him raise his voice. Like except if it was scripted for him. I've never heard him raise his voice. I've never heard him. I've never seen him have a unpleasant unpleasant vibe about him. And he's
right.
just an altogether great guy.
Is to write anything possible in a script that takes me out of my element.
Yes, I have to do that for him because I hate that he is so positive every day
together.
When I talk to him. I'm like, I've got to give you something that is going to like really shake you. And sometimes he'll read the script and he'll call me. He was like, I'm not saying that. I'm like, oh, yes, you are. Hello. I just want to say hello to Ty and Rabon, who just sent me a text message. It was like, Will, get off the phone.
I'm out.
Hey, Will, listen, I want to thank you so much for calling in because you not only talked about Anthony, but your experience being on the reality show gave a lot of us information and stuff to think about. So super, super thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you, too. And hopefully I'll see you around.
We'll catch up with you in D.C.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And that was Will, everyone. And, in fact, I have Michael Kay and I, throughout the chat room, we have been taking all of your information, Anthony, Anacostia, the web series, and showing clips inside the
cool
chat room. So certainly, you guys can feel free to check out all of this series. I think I've got time enough for one more call. This is a 703, and this person, whoever is on 703, they have been on for a little bit of time. So let me see if I can actually see if I can get this. Actually, no, not 703. This is a 202. So let's see. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Victoria, Michael, and Anthony. Who are we speaking with? Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, yeah, you're on the air. Maybe we were actually talking too much. But Anthony, getting back
uncle.
To you know, to cast members like Will, it just seems like the cast members who called in, that it's just wonderful that all of you just have a great connection and they have great backgrounds. I'm reading some of the bios right here on the website, and these folks have done some stuff.
Yeah, it's like they it was really important. It was really important for me to find people that would have a chemistry. And sometimes you can see that in the initial audition, and sometimes you have to sort of wait to see everyone get together. And I was fortunate enough to have a group of professional people come and click automatically with one another. So it's been great. Shout out to my coworkers, Drew, Suzanne, and Mike and Steve.
Hi, guys.
So
Anthony, we have kept you way, 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 sweetie, beyond than what Michael Kay. I think we said, we're just going to do a show for 30 minutes. You're about an hour and 10 minutes now. So you've been so generous time. But you're actually, MK, Anthony's going to be back on the air with me for a very special show on the 28th, which is a Sunday. The Martin Luther King Memorial dedication unveiling is taking place in D.C. Huge, huge deal. So Anthony is going to be with me to kind of talk about D.C. and the importance of that and growing up in Washington and all of that. And I'm excited to say that former council member Kevin Chavis is also going to join us. So that's a big deal for me because he's done so much for the entire city of D.C. So he's going to join us as well. And perhaps someone from the MLK Foundation is going to be with us. So we're going to be live during that show. And I myself, I'm going to be in D.C. and be a part of that. So I'm excited about that show. So, Anthony, I thank you for carving out that 8 o'clock time in your schedule, that important day to be with us on the air.
Oh, it is not a problem. I thank you, Victoria, and you as well, Michael, for inviting me on to do the show. I just want to say thank you once again to all of the supporters of Anacostia, to our sponsor, Anacostia River Realty and Durin Davis, to everyone in the cast, especially those that could not get through, Ty, Rabone, Murray, and Tamika. And I just want to say thank you to all of the creators out there that actually are creating their content, because somebody has to do it. And I'm just glad to be to have my show be a part of that chain that's steadily growing every day. Every day there's a new show that pops up, and as many shows that pops up, it only makes us stronger. So there's no competition. It's only community, and I hope that people can realize that it's no competition between us. It's community. And so that was the great thing about the Indie Soap Awards, was everyone was there under umbrella of community.
Well, listen, you know what you have to do for Michael Kay and I, you have to promise us, and it may not be this season, but promise you'll write us into one of your scripts as newscasters, and we get to stand out live and do like a live shot in front of one of the whatever you've got going on. So write us into the script so we can be a part of the show. Promise me you'll do that.
I would absolutely
be willing to play Will Lash's love interest. If need be, I will put myself out there for you, Anthony.
That is a script that I know that Will will call me on and be like, Anthony Anderson, what are you
doing?
You're
crazy.
The only thing that I want to play, and trust me that I know how to play, is myself being a newscaster. So MK, I'll leave you up to playing whatever you want to play. That's so funny. Anthony Anderson, the creator, director, Indie Award winner of
the web series
called Anacostia, was joining us tonight on the air. We love you, and I'm sure you'll be back again soon. And just thank you so much for your time tonight. I really, Michael Kay and I love you dearly, and we appreciate it.
I had a blast. Thank you guys so much for always supporting. Michael, I will see you on the red carpet next year at the Indie Soap Awards as well, and I promise I'm not going to be as drunk as I was this year, which is a bald-faced lie.
He likes it that way.
Which is a bald-faced lie. But anyway, thank you guys again so much, and I hope that you really enjoy season 3 of Anacostia, because it's gonna be a doozy. It's gonna be one for the books. So thank you guys so very much, and thank you to all the fans. Shout out to Sean, David, and Simone for working on the crew so hard. And thank you to Laura Lee, everyone that makes Anacostia what it is, and I thank you again. Shout out to my cast one more time, because I really do love those guys.
Thanks, Anthony.
We love you too. Bye, Anthony. Oh, MK, don't you just love Anthony?
Oh, I do. And just for those who haven't got the information yet, you can see Anacostia, www.anacostia-theweb-series.com, and also you can watch them on www.vimeo.com/Anacostia. Yeah, Anthony Anderson is a hoot and a holler, and he would have to be a little twisted, too, just in the level of which the storylines and the plots and are fantastic. So yeah, what fun having Will Lash on from I Love New York. That was
yeah.
Did you ever watch that reality series?
Yeah, I did. And actually, when I was looking at the website for Anacostia, I clicked on his picture because all the bios are on there. And when I saw his face, I completely remembered who he was. So yeah, and congratulations to him to working with DC Hotspots and that connection that they've got with the CW. In D.C., so I'm sure we'll probably run into him. And he gave us, you know, some really good insight on reality show and his experience in being on there. MK, you've got to do all the shout-outs inside the chat room, because we've had a lot of people inside the chat room with us tonight.
Absolutely. Going to give shout-outs to guest 5774, guest 6355-296, Mike Collip, my brother from another mother, Shannon Sibbald from the UK, Sandy at Sea was here earlier, Mar Ben was here earlier. Sandy at Sea had some kind of storm that were sounding alarms, so she had to leave earlier, so we wish her safety. But, yeah, I want to thank everybody for a great show, Vic. This was so much fun to laugh and just cut up and have some fun.
Yeah, it was. And you know, one thing that is always important to me is that there's so many people out there that are doing their thing and are very successful, like Anthony with the web series and the entire cast, and it's something that's positive And, you know, for us to be able to have them on our show, to recognize them, to give them a microphone and a voice to talk about what it is that they're doing, it just always makes me happy and also makes me very excited as well. We've got another show coming up with the Entertainment Twist on. What's next besides the live Martin Luther King show that I'm working on? What do you got going?
Next show will be next Thursday. Will be Jad Bradford and Rexton Lee, two singer-songwriters, again, coming out from Alabama and Nashville, ones to really look out for, much like the Scott Carey and Tommy Dalton show. So it's going to be music-heavy. Pop your popcorn and pour your Chardonnay, because some of the finest new music coming down the pipeline was going to be on, and that'll be next Thursday, the 24th. Is that 24th? No, 25th. I'm sorry, 25th at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah,
I, of course, was not here with you for your last show. I was doing
No, you had your thumb injury.
Yeah, I was doing some scrapbooking, and make a long story short, I had a nasty injury to my thumb in my right hand, so I was in a sling for almost about 2 weeks. So I finally got the sling off a couple of days ago. I still have a little bandage on my hand, but it's healing well, and I'm able to do a little bit of typing and get back to normal, so I'm excited about that. So thank you for all the well wishes, all the emails, and all the posting on my Facebook wall, everybody concerned about my hand. But I got it back. I'm back in track. The doctor, my sweetheart, got me up and running again, so I'm very, very happy about that. But in any event, so yeah. So, MK, give out the web address one more time for Anthony, because I just took it down from my computer, because I really want everybody to check out Anacostia, the web series.
Sure, Anacostia. You can find at www.anacostia-thewebseries.com. Also, check them out on www.vimeo.com/Anacostia. Plus, type in Anacostia to your Facebook search bar, and they'll come right up. So like them on Facebook. They've got almost 4,900 fans right now, so they're cutting it big, and they're doing it well. So much again, many thanks to Anthony Anderson and the entire cast of Anacostia. But yeah, Vic, you better we better sign off here. I see we're running out of time, but I want to thank everybody.
Yes, we are. Go ahead. You want to thank everybody?
Yeah, thank everybody for listening again. And back to the guests, Michael Kay, Mike Call-Up, Shannon Sibbold, Marilyn Bennett, and Sandy at Sea. So this is Michael Kay for At Home with Victoria.
So, MK, wait, don't go. Wait, don't go yet. Don't go yet.
Okay.
I do have time to play a song. So, what song do you want me to play?
We've got
Tommy in here. We've got Shelly in here. We've got Scott. We always do Shelly. Let's do something different.
Let's do Scott Carey.
I see Long Road to Nashville and A Little Bit of Country. Which one?
Let's do A Little Bit of Country.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do that. MK, love you. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Love you too, doll. You have a great night. Night, everybody.
Okay.
How do you do? I like the way you walk in those alligator shoes. That short red dress sure gives me a clue that you like to have a good time. I'd hate to see you go, but love to watch you leaving this old country boy. I'm out of a trick up his sleeve, so saddle up in my truck and come with me and let's go take a ride. You don't need no reason, no ride, 'cause everybody goes a little bit of country sometimes. A little bit of country, down by the creek, a homegrown honey that tastes so sweet, and some whiskey, a cheap bottle of wine. Everybody goes a little bit of country sometimes. Hey there, girl, now what do you know? I've got $100 bill that says you're ready to go. The country in a 4x4 for some good time. We'll grab a couple of guns and a case of cold beer, a camouflage tent, and we'll pitch it right here out under the stars, and we can make love till the sunrise. You don't need no reason, no ride. cause everybody goes a little bit of country sometimes. A little bit of country down by the creek, a homegrown honey that tastes so sweet and some whiskey, a cheap bottle of wine. Everybody goes a little bit of country sometimes. A skinny dipping dip spitting son of a gun. And when the bar closes down, I've only begun to have a good time. You see, cause I know a place where we can party all night. It's tucked back away from the big city lights, with a hot tub and cold beer on ice and a little bit of moonshine. You don't need no reason nor rhyme, cause everybody goes a little bit of country sometimes. A little bit of country down by the creek, a homegrown honey that tastes so sweet, and some whiskey, a cheap bottle of wine. Everybody goes a little bit of country sometimes.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.